Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host, Eric Howdige. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and APCO Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare. Eric is on assignment today, so he won't be with us, but we have a special guest, John Traver. John, welcome to Forward.
Corey, thanks for having us.
I am super excited to talk shop with you. I've been looking forward to this probably for a couple years now, and our people just haven't been able to connect and get you settled down where you could be on this episode. But we're going to title this one, The Past, Present, and Future of Automotive BDC. And who better to have talk about this than you, John? Could you tell our audience just a little bit about you?
A little bit about me. Well, I am one of a number of great people here at Traver Connect today, which is our fixed operations answer for business development and business development center type focused efforts in automotive. The beginning, though, for me was Traver Technologies, 1991, the initial BDC. What I was trying to do there was something a little different. It was front end focused. Maybe we'll talk about it today, Cor. I don't know if you're thinking what I'm thinking, but yeah, I mean, that was the beginning. And so there's differences between front and back end. We actually do both today. And there's some other things I think we're still working on around business development and automotive and retention and customer experience. So super excited about this conversation today.
Yeah, I am too. And I think you really hit home because that's been my thing for the last 5 to 7 years is customer experience, right? How can we give the customer the best experience? Not just look at retention numbers, because retention numbers can be really skewed. And what I mean by that is if I have to come back to the dealership because it's under warranty, then I'm going to come back to the dealership. Am I really a happy customer? No, I'm not, right? We want to see what the organic retention number is with that customer experience. So, John, you're a pioneer in the, especially the early days of BDC. What was your original plan or pain point when you set out to solve it? And how has that evolved over the last 5 or 6 years?
Well, what I'd like to say to that is, first of all, I was just one person. I was the director of operations and training for the Russ Darrow Group. And I had come out of retail. I had sold. I had managed in southeastern Wisconsin. Go Pack Go for those Packer fans out there. And what I saw when I started selling was they would send me to these workshops that they had to check a box for, and it was parts and service related. It wasn't always sales related. So I was a young guy, 1986, selling cars, trying to pay my way through school. And hey, Traver, we're going to send you to this parts workshop. And they got their check, their box checked at that Dodge store. It was Wild Dodge in southeastern Wisconsin. I'm telling you this for a reason. My first year, I don't know how many of those workshops I went to, Corey. But what happened was not only did I sell, but I kind of got a macro view of the dealership and what it was supposed to work like. And what I noticed was, hey, the way it's supposed to work, the ecosystem and what we're doing. And I literally would have this conversation with the general manager. I said, do you realize how far outside of that blueprint we are? Like, and there is no service handoff. There is, you know, and he would just nod and basically tell me to go back to work. So whenever I would see that old commercial, you've been around long enough, remember the Life cereal commercial with Mikey, I was Mikey, right?
Yeah.
And but that's where it kind of began for me, brother. I began to sense like, hey, wait, there is a way to do this. There's an old story about grandmother's ham, and it's supposed to be this famous recipe, and you know, the mom would mimic grandma's ham, her mother. Well, one Christmas or Thanksgiving, everybody's together and the kids are excited about mom preparing the meal. And of course, it takes a lot of time to prepare the big holiday meals. And the kids ask about grandma's ham and they say, are you going to do grandma's secret recipe? And she said, well, what's the secret is what the kids asked. And she said, well, why don't you ask your grandmother? She's here. And so one of the things they would always do is cut the ends of the ham off. Have you ever heard this story?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they'd always cut the ends of the ham. Mom would always just do exactly what her mom did. So first thing, remember, we got to do this and we got to prepare it this way. And then we cut the ends off and we put it in this kind of pan. And the kids kept asking for the secret. And well, when they got to the cut to the ends of the ham off, grandma kind of frowned and she said, oh, my pans were just too small. So the reason the end of the ham was cut off for grandma that got passed down to mom that the kids thought was part of the recipe had nothing to do with the recipe. And that is, isn't that true in our business today? How many things do we do today that we don't test? And so that happened for me in the late 80s. And at that time, Tom Stuker had what they called a phone room. And Tom was already doing good things with that. I had a different view on sort of how to approach it. I began to rebrand how I wanted to attack it. Mine involved software, involved a business development manager. So I coined that BDM term. And at that time, you know, what we had was an outdated sales process. That was the biggest thing I saw as director of operation training in that dealer group was the customers knew what we were trying to do. They knew when you told them you had misplaced the keys of their trade that you really had not misplaced their keys. You were just trying to elongate the negotiation, almost like it was some sort of interrogation and we were going to wear them down. I was embarrassed by that. I saw a more intelligent person in front of me. I saw somebody who desired to be treated right. I didn't think it was a crime to ask for a profit on a vehicle that we spent millions of dollars even then to build a facility, to insure it, turn the lights on every day. It was a 4 to 5 digit event, just turning the lights on because of your insurance costs, everything else, payroll that would happen each day. So to me, I was coming from a slightly different place. So it was an outdated sales process. And then the customer conversation, Corey, was super outdated. No one really owned follow-up. No one really had accountability. And BDC was the beginning of the answer to that issue. My deep ache, though, is I came from the showroom floor and I watched our stores churn through salespeople. And they always griped about the high turnover ratio. So you can see how all these connect together. It wasn't just one thing. And I said, well, look, I mean, my oldest son played baseball. He played all the way up. He was drafted 4 times, played a couple of years in the Angels organization, played for TCU, went to 4 College World Series. He was very fortunate to be part of those teams, starting right-handed pitcher, big guy. You know, I look at even his journey. When he got to pro ball, they were feeding them PB&Js. I mean, you're on the road somewhere in minor ball and you're eating PB&Js. And I just looked at that and I thought, you know, you guys spend all this money. These kids spend all this time develop this unique skill. And you're going to feed them PB&Js. Makes no sense. Well, in the car business, we were allowing salespeople to eat and live off of fresh showroom traffic. The lowest close rate in the business, lowest grossing, lowest CSI, and we're going to have 100% of your business be on the showroom floor. And you go, well, what's the option? Well, the option would be appointment-based business. Mm-hmm. And so we know that appointments close at a higher rate, higher gross, higher CSI. It's better for everybody. I talk to you on the phone. If I learn how to talk on an incoming call and convert that conversation into an appointment that shows, and I got 2 or 3 vehicles already pulled up on the side when you get here, and I've already established the business relationship. I've already laid the, I mean, there's a little bit of wow, and you can do this in 1990. You can do this in 2000. And guess what? You can still do it in 2025. And it really is this picture of serving the customer. So it was not just the BDC. The BDC was the weight room. That's where we spent 90 minutes a day. We made, you know, basically during that time, we got incoming phone calls. We made our outbound follow-up calls. And by the way, who was we? We was a salesperson. Today, we've sort of moved this to where it's somebody else. It's not the salesperson building their business. It's another person. Am I here to talk about, I mean, maybe that's another podcast, but it's interesting when they talk about redoing the BDC. It's when you look back and you see the origin of what things were, and then you see where they are, you might be able to take a different, deeper look and get better answers with better questions. So I'll stop there, but
I like
that. Did I get you started?
Yeah, that definitely gets me started. So how would you describe the state of most dealerships' BDCs in 2025, and are they keeping up or are they falling behind and failing the customer expectations?
Yeah, I think the state is, you know, the top 10%, Corey, they're integrated. They're data savvy, and they're customer focused. Okay. The rest, I think, my opinion, you're going to see a heavy transactional sort of footprint. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like numbers, conversion rates, all important things, but not the most important. Okay.
Okay.
If you're in a repeat and referral business, reacting instead of anticipating. So the distance, there's some silos, right? The BDC, this, okay. I can see your body language. You see what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So the shift from speed to lead to speed with quality of connection is really the bridge that we're on today. And what's interesting is we have technology now as a interface in the form of AI, right? Mm-hmm. And so we want to solve the problem with that. And first of all, there are applications for AI that will improve the overall experience in terms of consistency, predictability. Some of those will require adoption by the consumer. Some of those will be rejected by the consumer. And so if you don't answer that rejection, they'll go somewhere where they can get that experience. And that rejection may require some live interaction. And wow. So it's staying close. It's very much like the law of real estate. You know, there's three laws in real estate: location, location, location. And I would say in this space here, when you're growing a business and you're innovating, you have to stay close. You have to have, you know, two fingers on that jugular and have a decent feel for the pulse. Is this working? I think, buddy, everybody is an entrepreneur at some level.
Yeah.
When you talk to really good entrepreneurs, like I'll give you an extreme example. So if I say Elon Musk, people think of a super innovative person. One of the things that's very interesting about an Elon Musk, and again, this isn't about him. This is just an example that I want to lift up here for us to think in terms of concepts. When it comes to like core processes, every business has 6 to 8 core processes, you know, accounting, sales, marketing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so when you look like National Auto Care, you have a half a dozen processes you guys depend on. And if I said, buddy, we got half a day, open a notepad, we're going to list out the 6. And then I want you to tear out a sheet of paper for each of the 6. And we're only one page. I want you to give me the bullet points of the 20% of the steps that take me 80% of the way there for marketing. To give me the 20% of the steps that take me 80% of the way for selling, for ops, for the podcast, like that. Does that make sense?
Okay. That makes sense, yeah.
Okay, so now you have a playbook. Okay, so what I'm telling you is that an Elon Musk would reject that. And he would say, no, you got to be innovative. You can't be. And by the way, I'm not projecting that he would. I can actually show you the statement. He literally said, no, we don't do it like that. But the problem is, that's what he did in the beginning. And it still is what he does today. See, he takes an idea and he creates it. And then he puts it out there. And then he watches and he makes adjustments for the areas that miss. True or false?
Yeah.
True.
It's true.
So you have to stay close. So the location, even if you're the brightest person in the room, you got to stay close and make adjustments. So AI doesn't just solve the problem. It'll be a combination of things that are going to lead to that quality of connection. And by the way, one of the challenges with the front end of the business that still exists today is it's a 30-day month. And then you start over at zero. And see, yeah. I saw your body language because you know you came from the space too. You know, and we're back at zero. It's like next week's game, 0-0, and we're starting over, which I don't care how many tackles you had last week. I mean, I don't care how many yards you had last week. It's zero when that clock starts, right?
Yeah, right. So
in fixed, it's different. And that's what we're talking about here. In fixed, we're in a repeat and referral business. Tully Williams, good friend
and
a good man. Yes. You know, one of the old axioms that he goes back to often, it's not that Tully made this up. It's been around for decades, maybe 100 years. We're in the repeat and referral business. In fixed operations, it's not about how fat of an RO you can write. It's about how deep you can connect with that customer. Are they heard? Are they understood? Do you communicate well? Do you know when to shut up and just listen? Do you know how to educate? You have a female in front of you. Do you talk down to her? Or do you talk on the level? You see, like, and this, no matter what the size of the RO is, they're coming back. If you start checking those boxes,
absolutely,
they're coming back. So to me, you know, that still can feed the front end of a store. And that is the great sort of balancing game in business development today that exists.
Well, it's a relationship that you're building, a different relationship that you would have than at home, right? You're building that relationship. Too often we find out that, you know, when we're doing our job as service advisors in the fixed department, we got our fancy technology and iPad and we're taking pictures of the customer's car and we're not telling them why we're taking pictures of their car. What am I telling you, John, if I have your vehicle and I'm just taking pictures of it? What are you thinking when I'm doing that without me saying anything? You're thinking, okay, Corey doesn't trust me and that's why he's taking pictures, but I want you to trust me, John. Right. And there's that customer experience. That's what they're feeling. Right. Mm-hmm. So since you brought up AI, let's dive a little bit deeper into AI. How has AI changed the game for BDCs, and where is the real opportunity versus just noise?
Okay. Well, AI is an enhancer. I would start there. Let's use that word. It's an enhancer. I would caution those that look at it as a substitute. All right, let's take all the people out. And I was in a CEO forum 2 weeks ago in Colorado, and I listened to Marcus Lemonis, who does the show The Profit. He's the current CEO of Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah,
he also has, I think he's CEO or has a huge stake in Camping World. He kind of helped both of those organizations out of bankruptcy. Anyway, this conversation was had. There were a few investment banks there talking about, you know, so Goldman Sachs, you know, talking about AI and its impact. Some strong opinions, Corey. I mean, I listened to some very large, notable organizations say they didn't feel like AI would end well. Like that was a loud statement in that room. What I would say to you is this. As you use AI, like one of the areas at Traver, we're using it is in our middle statement of work. So like when we do outbound, one of the problems we have is we inherit a list of 100 names and 40% of those names, the information is horrible. So when you look at 5,000 units in operation or 10,000 units in operation in a dealership, and we're working to create retention and outbound campaigns, live calls, digital marketing, the whole journey of bringing them back in when they're due to be brought back in, and it's producing new revenue and service. This could be people that haven't been in 12 months, could be people due for service, could be their very first service visit, could be a recall. Those are different dispositions, if you will, of who we're talking to. My point is we use AI to enhance the data. Then we use AI to look and rank who is most likely to be ready. Then we use AI.
Wow.
The outreach is still digital and then human. So they feel the benefit of AI without talking to a machine. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So to me, if you are just a follower, and because somebody says AI, you go, sir, yes, sir, and you're using AI, I would question. Peter Drucker wrote, I love Drucker's work, by the way. Like, I cannot have a conversation, a business conversation with somebody without talking about Peter Drucker at some point. All right. Why? Because his stuff is so fundamental and frankly, timeless. He wrote a book years ago called The Five Essential Questions Every Business Must Ask. The five essential questions. And I'm going to tell you what they are. Number one is, what is our mission? Number two is, who is our customer? Number three is, what is our customer value? Number four is, how are we doing at what they value? And number five is, what is our plan? Now look at me when I, in the audience, and as Corey and I have this conversation, you and I both know where most organizations start on that list. Number five. Yeah. All right. What's our plan?
Yeah. Let's get a plan first before the new year starts.
And the problem with that is you have to understand the meaning of those questions. Number one, in business, mission is not like it is in the military. In the military, if you and I are in the military and our mission is to secure that building, it's a task. In business, it is a purpose. It's why. So at Traver Connect, and sometimes each business has to have a mission for it to really be able to make good decisions, like decisions on how do we use AI? You see how I'm connecting this now?
Yeah.
Why? So at Traver, our mission is experience matters. Theirs, yours, ours. Theirs is the consumer. So really another way to say it is making experience matter. That is why we do what we do. Everything we do, whether it's inbound, it's outbound, it's training, it's software, everything is around how do we make the experience matter? Well, why is that important? It's important because we're in a repeat and referral space. Mm-hmm. It's important because we may only get a chance to touch them once. It's important because if we touch them this one time the right way, it may be a relationship that lasts for decades. So it does make it, it's a differentiator. It's a moat builder, you know, around our business that makes it hard for competitors to, you know, sort of steal our customers. I'm trying to do this all in a very short period of time, but you see my point. So why is first, that's your mission. Who is our customer? There's two customers in every business. There's a primary and a secondary. If you're an elementary school principal, and I asked you, I said, Corey, who's the primary customer? People are going to, they could be all over the board. They could say, oh, well, it's the parents, it's the teachers, it's the students, it's the teachers union. Hey, look, you get one, which one is it? And hopefully everybody will agree, it's the student. That's for whom the building was built. Yeah. The student, they're the primary. So you go, well, okay, where are you going? Well, every business has secondary customers. Like at National Auto Care, you guys have secondary customers. You have a primary, but you also have secondary. Right. And so why is that important? Because even at the dealership, you may have the OEM, you may have finance partners, you may have F&I partners, you may have fixed ops partners, but the primary is the consumer. And so the key to this is, remember, as an elementary school principal, parents can get you fired, they're secondary. School board can get you fired, they're secondary. Your local bank who promotes you and, you know, you raise money from. So they're all important, but you got to know how to categorize because the needs are going to be different in those two groups. Very important. So that's number two. And I'm giving this crash course. Three, what is our customer value? You got to ask that question on the recurring. You have to ask because, buddy, you've been in this space how long? 20 plus years.
Yeah, 20 plus years. Yep.
Okay. So let me ask you, has not the needs and desires of our consumers evolved?
Absolutely. It got ramped up during COVID.
Okay. So absolutely. Great. That's a great soundbite right there. Okay. So let's think about this. If we don't ask what does our customer value on the regular, can you see how it'd be very possible for us to become Aaron?
Yeah.
So now let's go back to your original question on AI. Now, do you see why these five questions are so powerful? If you're not asking these, you're not going to see where to put AI. You're not going to see where AI maybe is going to lead you astray. You have to stay true to number three. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I like that a lot.
Not to the product, to why we've gathered the student, the consumer, and then work your way out. And how are we doing? I love the book, Good to Great. Jim Collins was not only a great writer, but he's a great researcher. And he put a research team together. They asked two questions, the whole basis of that book, brother. And it was number one, it was they sent out a questionnaire to about 5,000 companies. And question one was, have you had double digit year over year increase in revenue for 10 straight years? Yes or no? 5,000 companies surveyed, 200 came back with a yes. 200 out of 5,000.
Wow.
So that means every year, 10% or more growth every year without missing a year. That's the key. Second question, year over year, NOI growth, 10% or better without missing a year. 200 went to 20. So 20 out of 5,000 could say yes to two questions. So then they said, okay, our premise was right. We figured it'd be a small group. So let's get a hold of the 20. And just like you would see today, there's like this dichotomy where half the group is like, oh no, sorry, you guys can't come in here and ask questions. Right. And then the other half was like, okay, are you sure you want to come talk to us? You know, like servant leaders that just think they're just doing the basics and they don't realize how exceptional what they're doing consistently makes a difference. Hint, hint. Got it? So they go, and so the book is based on what they found in those 10 or 11 companies. So when you see the principle, great organizations have associates who think and act like owners, and then they go ahead and they outline what they saw. See, so to know what your customer values is big, but in the book, he interviews James Stockdale. Stockdale was the vice presidential candidate with Ross Perot in 1991. He was the largest ranking prisoner of war. He was an admiral in a U.S. fleet taken captive in the Vietnam War. He was in Hanoi Hilton, which was basically, he was in the hole, and they beat the crap out of him for 3.5 years with John McCain. And again, this isn't political. I'm just telling you, I remember when he was doing the VP debate and Ross Perot at that point had 20% of the popular vote. The last person to do that was Teddy Roosevelt, who won the presidency, by the way. There was all this vibe about Ross Perot. Do you kind of remember this era?
Oh, I love Ross Perot.
Okay.
Not gonna do it.
Wouldn't be prudent. Giant sucking sound. And he had his graphs and his charts. And
yeah.
Well, here comes Stockdale, his VP. And as soon as he opened his mouth, I was like, oh, bro, you just lost. He goes, you can look this up, YouTube it. Who am I? What am I doing here? That was his opening rhetorical statement. I was like, bro, that's not it.
That's not it.
And so, but Stockdale was interviewed by Jim Collins in Good to Great. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. No.
Called the Stockdale effect. And so Jim asked him, he said, hey, I know about your story. I know you were in the hole 3.5 years. They beat the hell out of you. What's the story, man? How'd you get out of there? Why? And how about the other guys? Why didn't they get out of there? And he's like, well, look, the other guys, they would set goals. Nothing against setting goals, but they set goals and they say, okay, when it gets cold, it'll be winter, and winter is around Christmas. And certainly, you know, I know they're going to come all the way by Christmas to rescue us. And winter would come, winter would go, and they'd be despondent. And they knew that the heat of summer, the peak of summer was around July. And so they knew like, okay, if we can make it to the peak of summer, they'll rescue us by July 4th, patriotism. Summer would come, summer would go. And he said, those guys would die with a broken heart. So Collins is like, uh-huh. And so Collins said to him, he goes, well, what about you, James? What about you? He said, me? I just faced the brutal truth. See, question 4 is, how are we doing?
Mm.
Great organizations look in the mirror and go, Traver, you are an ugly son of a gun. You know what I'm saying? Like they can see the flaw. But see, what that allows you to do is A, be humble, and B, begin to go to work on what you see needs, and you can prioritize. Leadership really is just 3 things, man. It's, if you're leading an organization, you should, number 1, be able to establish the direction where we're going. Number 2, you should be able to speak to how we're going to do this. What initiatives, what tools, whatever, how we're going to do this. And 3, you should speak to how we're going to measure it so everybody's measuring the same way. So like if you're a running back, you go, but boss, you know, I gained 6 yards. I know, but we needed 10. We measure by first downs, not by yards like right. that. Does that make sense? Like that can happen in business sometimes where people are not. So that's it. Direction, how we're going to do it, how we're going to measure it. See, now everybody's unified. But then you can be brutally honest. Somebody once said years ago, they said, clear is kind. What is it? Clear is kind. So that meant to be direct with people. Huh. I'm kind of 50-50 on that. So like if I'm going to correct something that's going on, 1, I'm going to make sure I have enough trust deposited with those people. Okay.
Ooh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. It's not my job to be a jerk. It's not. It's my job to make sure we know the direction, we know what our initiatives are, and we know how we're measuring it. And then I want to ask you, Corey, do you realize where we're at in that particular initiative? Yeah. Do you realize we're behind? Yeah. Do you realize how far behind we are? Yeah. Do you got any ideas? Are you concerned? Do you have any solutions? See, that's an owner. I'm looking for owners. Mm-hmm. So with AI, you can see I've taken you sort of around the galaxy now, right?
Yeah.
To me, number four is being able to look at it. So is AI enhancing your business? Is it enhancing loyalty? Is it enhancing repeat business? Or is it just enhancing the P&L? Okay, I could go deeper on this, but that's kind of how I would answer that question for now. How about that?
I like that. I like that a lot. I think if we really look at, and we're going to switch gears here a little bit and talk about the dealership at their structured level, how can dealerships restructure the BDC strategy to better align with tomorrow's digital buyer?
I think number one, data. You're going to need the right data. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
You see the issue out there, right? A lot of bad data. Okay, so data. And there are some stores that have taken this initiative and they see it and they're working on it. So you got to get the right data. You got to know what that data is. In other words, is it the address? Is it the phone number? Is it email? What data are you talking about? Is it the credit score? What data do I need? So clarify that data plus AI plus real-time experience. Okay. Those have to merge. I think you're going to see that as the next big shift over the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
The ones that are able to, and by the way, it's like building a brick wall, man. You go, it gets done, or it's stone. It's just beautiful. And you say, man, that's amazing. How'd you do that? One at a time. Good foundation, one at a time. And we just never stopped. We just kept going. Oh, and it's kind of like a buzzkill. Like, oh, hey, how else would I do it? Right. There's no, I dream of Gina and we're nodding and it just happens. You just build it. Okay. Dealers, I think that are late to adopt, you know, they're going to end up depending on their OEMs and they're also going to lose flexibility. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then I think the edge will go to those who sort of have this digital experience command center inside their BDC. You know, it's this balance. And so what's cool about this, it's like making a meal. Notice I didn't box it in and say they have to do these three things. If you're a Mitsubishi dealer, I'm using an extreme, or you're a Mercedes-Benz dealer using the M's, you could see how that those needs would vary. What does our customer value? So, but now what you've done is you've moved into question five of Drucker. You've asked me, what should the plan be? You notice that? See, but we got there through those first four.
So in a perfect world, if you were to start a BDC from scratch in 2025, what would John Travers' BDC look like?
Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm going to assess first. I'm going to start with letter A and I'm going to assess a couple things. Number one, I'm going to assess the temperature of our current clientele. Our clients, our customers, right? What do they want? What are they getting? What's the gap? What would it look like if we were delivering it? Creating an ideal sort of picture. I'd start there. Number two, I'd go to my sales force and I'd do the exact same thing. You know, what does turnover look like? What does income look like? How do we crush it? How do we marry these two to where it becomes a flywheel? Right? Because you know what a flywheel is, everyone, right? It's like when you pull on that lawnmower and finally when everything fires and it's running, you're not still pulling. It's just balanced and it's just running. So I would start with that premise of a flywheel and just find a way, okay, how do I marry those two? Then you get inside of it and you're probably going to be a little bit smaller, a little bit smarter, a little more analytical, probably one team, one data stream, probably omni-channel, a blend of tech. You're going to have plenty of learning and development. You'll have plenty of human leadership. And the purpose won't be to handle calls. It'll be to grow customers.
Oh, got it. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, John.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think retention starts in the BDC, brother. Retention starts in the BDC. And I don't think the future BDC is about doing more. It's about doing smarter. It's about being more in touch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's being intentional with what those goals are and that mission statement that you were talking about earlier. I love all of that. John, we're right up against the time and I want to get to this lightning round What are your three takeaways from this episode that anyone listening, whether they're an owner of a dealership, a GM, a service manager, a service advisor, any level of a dealership, can take action today and implement that into their dealership?
Yeah, I think it's number one is going to be people before process, right? Ooh. You have to people. You got to people. And I think it's process before technology would be number two. And then, as I said a minute ago, retention starts in the BDC.
Love that. Okay. Yeah. I like to get a little personal when I have guests on this this podcast. What does John do for fun outside of Traver Connect?
I hope people would say he has a servant's heart. There's a lot of people around me that some are business related, some are not. But I try and be of help. You know, what do I enjoy? I do enjoy the outdoors. I do enjoy activities in the outdoors, and anything from golf to, frankly, farming, running equipment. We have a large ranch operation.
Wow.
I enjoy my grandkids. I enjoy my kids watching them sort of walk it out and figure it out. Yeah. So there you go. And I'm involved in my church, got some incredible people there. So you know what? Just try to be all things to all people that I might win a few.
Oh, I think you're winning quite a few, John. That's awesome. How can people get in touch with you?
TraverConnect.com or John Traver on LinkedIn. And happy to hear what you're doing. Happy to try and get you pointed in the right direction. You know, I'm not in ops. I'm not in sales. But I know people that are. How about that?
John Traver, a servant leader. I love it. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. John, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll ask this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Be my honor to. You say when.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.